You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my ear bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is S.H.I.E.L.D. number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
You're listening to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I am Martin Bruda.
And I'm Chris Ellis.
I almost walked all over you there.
It's all good.
I almost forgot what show we were hosting. So...
Yeah, there seems to be a few podcasts floating around as we try desperately to cling on to sanity during these COVID times.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. Just a bonkers day, eh?
Was it?
Oh, it's been a bonkers week, but comic books. A lot of crap happening in the comic book industry. Holy moly. Can we get a few more people canceled?
Yeah, Joss Whedon.
Yeah, let's start there. Poor old Joss. Who knows? He was such a tyrant, such a horrible.
Maybe don't say poor old Joss.
Well, I am sarcastically saying that. You know, you reap what you sow, right?
Yep.
And it appears that he's reaping what he sowed. But I don't know. I mean, okay. Devil's advocate time. I don't want to diminish anything that has or has not happened or has occurred or hasn't occurred. That's not the point. But there's some people coming to his defense, and there's some people that are saying, you know, these horrible things happen. And somebody on the Facebooks was like, well, how can it be true if someone else is saying that it's, you know, they didn't have that experience? Well, you can have two totally different experiences. Like two employees can have two totally different experiences with the same boss, right? You could be in his good books. You could be, you know, a favored employee of his. You could be hitting it off well with them, and it shows in the interaction. And then you could have, you know, whatever sort of imagined or not imagined conflict that causes him to act out and be a jerk to you and be an asshole or be, you know, whatever happened. Like, just because Alan Tudyk came out and said, oh no, I had a great time, I never had any problems with him, that doesn't mean that he, you know, other actors didn't have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't automatically negate it.
No. And the fact that once so many people start coming out, sort of like Marilyn Manson, right? Like, he's sort of the new poster boy for damaged people. But the more and more people come out, like the first one you hear and you're like, Marilyn Manson's kind of crazy. So yeah, it could be possible. And then, you know, then it goes from like 2 people to 5 people to 7 people. You know what I mean? And it just starts to snowball. And it's like, man, maybe this guy really is a dirtbag. You know what I mean? Like, just because.
Wait. You're saying Marilyn Manson was a dirtbag? I'm
that's
shocked.
That's what they're
shocked.
Saying. Yep.
Marilyn Manson is the one person that I'm not surprised at.
he's a bit of a wingnut. Like, I don't know. I wasn't there. I have no firsthand experience. So I am the least qualified to comment on anything. But, you know, like, it's tough. You hear one person complain, and it's like, okay, somebody had an interpersonal conflict. But then the second person complains, like, okay, well, there's something here, obviously. Third person, well, holy geez, something's going on. In Bill Cosby's case, you know, 34 people or whatever the number is came forward, and you're like, okay, it's kind of hard to not think that there is something significant here. Yeah. So when you have one actress saying, you know, I had a really shitty time, could have been her, could have been him, could have been a combination too. Like I said, sometimes you just don't click with somebody, whatever, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. No non-blaming, no non-belief. It happens, whatever. And then a second actress comes in and says, no, that shit happened. And then an actor comes and says, oh yeah, no, that shit happened. And another actor's like, a different movie, but that shit happened. It's like, okay, well, obviously that shit happened.
Yeah.
You know, or at minimum, at bare, absolute, bare minimum, there was a lack of managerial leadership, something going on. You know, either he had a bad day and he decided to take it out on his actors and actresses, which is unprofessional, uncool, shouldn't happen, or he really is, you know, some kind of a master manipulator who psychologically messes with his, you know, or it just happens because he's got one of those attitudes / behavior patterns. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I wasn't there, but I'm absolutely, totally not willing there? Not willing to disbelieve anybody just because I wasn't there either. Mm. You know, there's something there for sure. And, you know, whatever. Like, if a guy is a jackass to work for, then he's a jackass to work for. And you it's not going to change. You know, it's like some people are like, when we go over this Alan Moore nonsense all the time. Alan Moore is the greatest writer in comics and he should be worshipped, except he's a complete douchebag and a horrible individual, but that shouldn't diminish his work. Well, yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah.
You know, like Bill Cosby's original albums were funny as heck. Am I going to go to a Bill Cosby stand-up show now? No. Well, I can't because, you know, I don't think they do comedy shows in prison, but you know, it does. It absolutely does diminish. If the character and the moral fortitude of the individual who's creating stuff is in question, it absolutely 100% taints the artistic qualities of what he's doing or she's doing. Usually yeah. He, but I don't know.
Like, it's crazy.
I dig his stuff, but if watching his TV shows and his movies means other people have to go to therapy in order to deliver that, that's not a fair trade-off.
No.
You know, I can get my entertainment elsewhere from somebody who isn't a tyrant to work for.
Yeah. But I guess Hollywood's kind of been covering this kind of stuff up for, like, apparently, like, Stanley Kubrick was bananas to work for too, right? Oh, yeah. Like, what was her name? Shelley DeVille, if I got the right person.
Ellie
she
Duvall.
Was in the Shining. Yeah. DeVille, yeah, she was in The Shining. Like, she quit acting because of the torment that he put her through on set.
Yeah, like, you know, he was apparently, you know, trying to get you know, realistic psychological terror out of her by psychologically terrorizing her.
Yeah,
that's okay. There's method acting and then there's method acting. That's over and above.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's crazy talk. But, you know, like, that kind of stuff happened. And then he was like praised for it. Right. Oh, look at the genius of this. And the poor woman suffered so badly that she doesn't act anymore. So was it really genius or was he just an asshole?
Yeah, like I don't know, you know. And some people have said that you know, true artistry has to come from someone who has suffered. What? Give me a break. But it's all about the money. Josh Whedon's stuff sold, and so studios were willing to, you know, do whatever needs to be done so that the movie's still sold. But now, you know, depending on how cancel culture hits this, if all of a sudden people are boycotting Josh Whedon's stuff and it doesn't sell, he's not going to be employed. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's like, what's her name? Gina.
Oh, Gina Carano. Yeah.
Yeah. Gina Carano here with The Mandalorian. She posts a whole bunch of really not nice tweets. I mean, they're not even politically incorrect. They're just, some of them are strange. Some of them are, you know, anti-masky, hoaxer. I don't know if she was talking about, you know, vaccines or something, whatever it was, because I'm not on Twitter anymore. You know, and all of a sudden it's like, well, people are going to boycott your Disney product because they really disagree with what this is typing in her personal life. So yeah, you got a First Amendment that protects her rights to say whatever the hell she wants. But there's also the entire capitalist idea in the United States where, you know, Disney is supposed to make money and give money to their investors and their, you know, 401k, that's where your investment money comes for your retirement funds and stuff, is in stocks like that. And if all of a sudden it affects their bottom dollar, U.S. courts very much will defend, you know, a contract that has morality clauses and stuff. She's let go, you know. You want to say nasty things that the majority of our viewers will disagree with? Well, then we don't want you on our TV show.
Yeah.
Well, she has the right to say anything she wants. Well, she, yeah, absolutely.
And she did.
Go ahead.
But you do have to reap it. You know, like you can't just say whatever comes to your brain. Like I'm a manager at work. So there are things sometimes that come into your brain that you just are not allowed to say, whether it's behavior or it's just a joke or whatever. Like there are just things that, you know, you're kind of held to a higher standard. And unfortunately, or fortunately, you know, if you choose to be a celebrity, then you're kind of held at a higher standard. And if you say things that are, you know, crazy, then people are going to treat you like that.
Yeah. Like, you know, if all of a sudden one of my customers phones up and says, hey, one of your techs, I saw them on Instagram and they were like walking around with Nazi flags and stuff. And, you know, just being a general jackass, I don't want him to ever come to my shop to fix my computers. That impacts my business.
Yes.
That impacts my ability to provide services for my customers. That's impacting my customer, you know?
And so obviously you have to address that.
You got to address it. And, you know, we have morality clauses in our employment contracts that basically say, you know, like the bottom line for me is I have a small enough shop that I need the flexibility to send one of my technicians on any service call. I don't have enough staff to say, okay, well, you don't have to go to this client and this client doesn't like you, so you don't have to go to that client and all this stuff. I can't deal with that. I have a customer that has a problem. I have one tech in the shop because all the rest of them are out on calls. That tech's going. And if that tech has some kind of a personal problem with that customer, you know, what can I do? Now, it goes both ways. I've basically fired customers that were nasty and mean to my employees, or, you know, were acting in a less than moral way. Like if I had a customer that was a known white supremacist, I wouldn't have that customer anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just not interested. I'm just not interested in servicing that person. I'm not interested in dealing with that person. Mm-hmm. So it goes both ways. You know, if I see a customer that's having a Nazi rally in Peterborough, or I send my text to the shop, to their location, and they're not wearing masks because they don't believe in masks and they think COVID is a hoax and shit like this. I got too many customers that do and have mm-hmm. contracts that say we have to, you know, be tested before we can walk on their premises. I'm not going to risk all of those customers because of that one. So I don't know. What's her name? Rhonda Rousey.
Yeah.
I think she's sitting by the phone.
Waiting for her wrestling call.
ready for her agent to give her a call and say, hey, you want to be in the Mandalorian spinoff?
Yeah.
She's ready to step in.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Literally, like, I like the character and I like the actress. She was fine. No problem. Wasn't exactly a very challenging role.
No.
Wasn't Johnny Depp level of acting. You know, it wasn't Leonardo DiCaprio level of acting. It was just, you know, so I think another, how should we say, stocky woman, muscular, could step into the role and, you know.
And do quite well.
And wink and look tough and fire a big machine gun, a big laser rifle once in a while, and she could fill them.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the big thing right now. They're trying to figure out whether they should recast or just kill the character off on off screen, or
I don't know why people are chicken that. You know how many times, like as a kid, you know, and it's summer holidays and it's raining or whatever. What are you doing? You're watching Another World. You're watching Ryan's Hope. You're watching Days of Our Lives.
Yeah,
with Mom. It just happens, you know.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune and what's the other one? Price is Right. Price is Right was big.
Yeah.
And how many times in the soap opera it pans to some total stranger and goes, the role of Dr. Fitzsimmons will now be played by John Kirkpatrick. And then all of a sudden, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Here's the new guy as the doctor. And everybody's like, that's not him. But we did have the internet to complain about it.
Exactly.
That's not my Dr. Kilpatrick.
That's not my Doctor Who.
It's mine. It's not mine.
Oh.
So, leave Doctor Who out of this.
Yeah.
Leave Doctor actually, Who out of this. Actually, I was just going to get Dan all fired up and bring up the Whoopi Goldberg. sorry, Martin. You almost spit all over your microphone. Did.
There was almost a water pop coming out of my nose.
Well, I figured if there, anything was going to trigger Dan, that might be the thing.
Yeah. So I guess that was the other.
Nothing's going to trigger Dan.
That was the other news. A couple of actresses put their hat in the ring publicly, not officially. I don't know if they submitted resumes to the BBC or to whoever, but they kind of publicly said, yeah, I'd play the role if it was offered to me. So who's that? It was Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
And what was the other lady?
They still haven't officially been said she's leaving, have they?
No, but and people are just going to jump on it and flog it like a dead horse until she does. But what was the other lady's name? Wasn't she in like a CIA FBI TV show about recruits?
Oh, it didn't. I think she wants to be 007. I don't think she wants
Oh, that's
to
James
be,
Bond. Correct.
Yeah. She wants to be
the next James Bond. What is her name? She was pretty good in that TV show. And I can't even remember the name of the TV show. I think I watched it for the first couple of seasons. I think it was called Quantico. That's what it was. It was called Quantico. Quick, we're going to frantically Google Quantico.
Everybody's trying to find her.
Priyanka Chopra. Mm. So she wants to be the next Bond or Jane Bond, the next 007.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm up for it. I don't care. I've lived through how many doctors now? How many Doctor Who's have we had? 14, 15, 700?
38 12? Or something.
13.
How many James Bonds have we had? And each fellow was a very, very different James Bond. Like their movies all had different tones and you know, different sensibilities and stuff like this. Why not? If it works, there'll be a second James Bond movie with her. If it doesn't work, like the Ghostbusters,
you'll never hear of it again.
Yeah, no fault of the fact that it was all ladies. It just wasn't a good movie.
Yeah.
So who knows? You know, when people are remaking TV shows and movies left, right, and center for no good reason, why not try something original like a gender-bended character and see what happens? If it works, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see.
Or come up with an entirely new character in the same line. Like, Hollywood is very good at stealing ideas and coming up with new stuff. Why don't they try that instead?
I was thinking about that. It dawned on me. Now, my scope is limited because I do watch a lot of genre movies. I'm not a big, huge, like, I've never seen The English, The English Patient or stuff like that. But in my small, narrow, focused realm, I think the last really original feeling movie that I saw was Looper.
Okay. Yeah.
It seemed to be, you know, sure, it was like time travel and stuff, a trope, but it just seemed to be a different take on it. Just seemed a little bit different.
Yeah. No, I agree. I haven't actually watched Looper, which is unusual because I typically watch everything that Bruce Willis puts out, but I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, not for the past 10 years. Oh my gosh, have you seen some of the stinkers?
He has put out some real ranky stuff, But again, there's a guy who has made himself hard to work with in Hollywood. Yeah. And, you know, like, how do you get fired from the Expendables?
Yeah, like,
like, seriously.
Especially how much he actually did in the Expendables.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't exactly like he had a huge, massive role. Like, how do you mess up that basically glorified cameo? Yeah. But he's pulled the Steven Seagal slash, Cuba Gooding Jr. Mm. You know, Cuba, great actor, did wonders. I think he was Oscar nominated for Jerry Maguire.
I think so too.
If not, Golden Globes, all sorts of stuff. And all of a sudden it's like straight to video movie after straight to video movie after straight to video. Mm-hmm. Steven Seagal famously signed that really bad contract where he had to put out 10 movies and he just kind of like put out the crappiest stuff you could find at the cheapest price. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Willis is like doing, he does like a 4-minute cameo in a movie and he's all over the DVD cover, all over the movie posters.
Yeah.
All over the Netflix saying, hey, Bruce Willis movie. And he's in it for like 4 minutes.
Well, they did the same thing with G.I. Joe too, right? When he was in the sequel as G.I. Joe, like he was Joe Colton.
Yeah.
And again, like The Rock was the big star in it. And I think pretty sure Bruce Willis has a bigger picture on the cover than The Rock does. Like, I mean, who made more money for what they put in, right? But it's, I don't know, crazy.
And it's you know, I firmly believe that any actor, actress, TV show, whatever, they should get paid what they're willing, you know. It's a free market. So if you can negotiate a big fat contract, negotiate that big fat contract.
Yeah.
You know, if you have enough power to say, hey, I'm Bruce Mother Truckin' Willis, I get the headline banner, I get the bigger picture, you know, now the tables have turned. I guarantee if that movie happened now, The Rock would have the bigger picture.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, but is what it is.
Yeah. Regardless if Bruce asked for a bigger picture or not.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's going on with the Gina Carrera Star Wars action figures? Are they still happening?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Are they? I heard somebody say something about the retro collection because it's pretty much already tooled and everything. Mm-hmm. Those figures will be coming out, but the vintage collection and the Black Series are not. Not that I collect those two.
Okay. What'll be interesting is will. Because no, obviously people aren't going to buy them. Are people going to buy them expecting them to be worth money?
Absolutely.
So now what you have is they're not going to not be sold.
Yep.
Because everybody's buying them, expecting them not to be sold, and the figure's never going to be worth any money. Like, is that just my brain working double overtime on this? Or do you honestly think that's like a very legit thing?
It's a very legit thing because
people are getting what they deserve.
Yeah. It's like Dan said, like it's a very legit thing because who's buying action figures? The
adults.
It's not the kids. Like I got my two nephews hooked on those 12-inch Titan Marvel and DC figures because they're fairly inexpensive, fairly robust. These guys are young. Mm-hmm. They could beat Thor and Hulk together, and even though Hulk cracked, you know, it's still kind of put up with the play wear as opposed to, you know, getting him a 6-inch Black Series with all those fine details and stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, action figures are not what they used
to be
in the marketplace. And I posted on Facebook about this. How you can tell is back in the day when Star Wars came out, there was multiple Han Solo action figures. Multiple Luke Skywalkers, multiple, well, not as many, Princess Leia's. But there's one Chewbacca figure.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of different R2-D2s, one or two C-3PO's, but they were all the same. They just added the removable limb feature. But other than that, it's pretty much the exact same figure. Repainted a couple of times, once for droids. But there was a bunch of Han Solos, a bunch of Luke Skywalkers. The Kenner Batman series. How many, like we had Arctic Blast Batman, we had Desert Storm Batman, we had Night Strike.
All pitched as being in the movie too, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. So back in the day when you did a box that you shipped to Kmart or Walmart and stuff, there was, you know, six Batman, two Robin, two Jokers, two Riddlers, two Penguins. But there are six Batman. Well, I'm not collecting because I only have a few, but I keep my eyes open on those new Spin Master 4-inch DC. I'm definitely not getting every single one, but every once in a while, you know, one catches my fancy, so I'll pick it up. Batman's the peg warmer. There's so many of the Batman figure on the shelves at Walmart right now. It's nuts. You know, you can't find a Catwoman. You can only find one or two Batwoman if you're lucky. Ton of Batman of two different flavors. Few too many Robins, but all the really cool figures are missing, right? So it's just, to me, it indicates that collectors are buying because collectors want one of each. Collectors don't want multiple Batman. They want one of each.
Yeah. Kids want multiple Batman.
Yeah. Whereas when kids are buying it, you know, Jimmy wants Batman and a bad guy. Mm-hmm. Batman and a bad guy. I don't care what bad guy, but I want Batman.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, you get to buy one figure today, Jimmy. Which one are you going to buy? Batman. Mm-hmm. So if kids were playing with this stuff, Batman would be off the shelf. Batman would be flying off the shelf. Yeah. But he's not.
Well, it's the same as Hot Wheels too now, right? Like the Hot Wheels when I was a kid were designed for kids, but Hot Wheels now are still designed for me.
Yeah.
You know, like they're really angling, like with all the chase cars and all. Like a 10-year-old Chris doesn't care if there's a chase car. He wants, you know, a 68 Shelby GT500. Yep. That's what he wants, you know. And but they just don't. It's not angled that way anymore.
No, exactly. Like I don't care whether the GT40 Hot Wheels when I was 8, I don't care whether it was the proper Gulf blue and orange or whether it was all black or was all silver, whether there was 1 in 12 per case, whether there was 14 in a case. I didn't care. I just wanted my Ford GT40 and I would zoom it up and down the tracks beating the snot out of it.
Yep.
Nowadays it's like, no, we got to have how many Batmobiles is there? There's like a silver Batmobile. There's a black Batmobile with red flames. There's a red Batmobile with black flames. There's a black Batmobile. There's a yellow Batmobile.
Mm-hmm.
How many Batmobiles do you need?
Well, but they're not. They're aiming it at the Batmobile collectors who will buy 26 different Batmobiles. Whereas a kid, he wants the one from the last movie or TV show that he saw. That's the Batmobile he wants. He doesn't care if the Batmobile is yellow. Batman never drove a yellow Batmobile. Who wants a yellow Batmobile?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, that is for the collector market. Totally is.
I don't know. I think everyone's just going nuts because of the lockdown. Everyone's just bonkers crazy. We really don't know what the hell we're doing.
Not anymore.
We don't. We don't. I mean, we saw... was it Cool World Toys, Cool World Collectibles, Cool World Comics in Belleville posting, hey, you know, lockdown's being lifted, so we're going to be open, socially distanced, masked, disinfectant, you know, all the proper precautions, but we're opening back up. We're going to have a sale. I'm not the only one who drooled all over a shirt when I read that, right? It was like Pavlovian dogs going off to our little crowd here. We're like, comics? Comics? We could go buy comics? We could go digging in bins. We could go bin diving. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're so starved for something other than Netflix.
Yeah. Well, and like originally when the pandemic hit, I kind of was half expecting there to be like a bit of a comic crash because people weren't buying them and money was going to get tight because people were laid off. So I was half expecting to see people dump comics cheap just to get rid of their collections you know, so we talked about that and, you know, we were all kind of saving up and trying to wait for the crash that never happened. If anything, comics have like exploded in value because, you know, people all of a sudden that had, normal everyday, minimum wage jobs, all of a sudden we're getting $2,000 a month tax free and they had like cash to burn and the books just exploded.
And like you also have from a budget point of view, like myself personally, I had X amount of dollars, but I wanted to hit in 2020.
Yeah.
I didn't because they were closed. So I turned around and I spent on the Green Lantern number one.
Yeah.
That, you know, like that's what's happening, you know. Mm-hmm. People are speculating and they're getting into, you know, comics like things like Hulk 181 trading record numbers, Amazing Spider-Man 129 trading hands left, right, and center at really great prices. Mm-hmm. And then all these fake micro keys that are all over the place are like exploding.
Yeah.
Exploding. What is it, the trend now, Dan, that you guys were talking about for the past 2 days? Trading cards?
Trading cards, yes.
Somebody
can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I was just expecting you to expand on the trading card. Oh, no. Run with that football that I tossed you since I'm always hogging the microphone.
You tossed me a football, but I've been lagging, so I don't want to talk.
now trading cards are the...
Well, yeah, and like that one guy, I don't know, he might have been a little crazy, and I think that stirred up more problems than anything else, but he had what he called Deadpool's rookie card that he was trying to sell off for, was that the $150 or the $200 one? I can't remember. I think it was
for that one.
What's that? That was the $200, and then it was,
yeah.
Yeah, and then it was $150 with the comic, something like that.
I don't know.
It's all insane. Like I know, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago, the X-Force with the Deadpool card was something that people really wanted to have because it was Deadpool, it was X-Force, whatever. And it made it a bit more rare out of like the 10 million comics that they printed for X-Force number one. Only 1 million of them had the Deadpool card. So... Of course, I just made up those numbers, but you know, like they have, you know, all of these cards and stuff. And so they were selling a bit more. I mean, like average price at that time was about $2 and they were getting about $20 or $25 for the Deadpool card, you know, X-Force. But now like to have gone up another jump like that is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And the only reason why that particular, it's not like there's actual any kind of rarity behind that one polybagged issue. It's just that Deadpool's hot.
Yeah.
So nobody wants the one with Shatterstar in the bag. Everybody wants Deadpool.
Adam does.
Because Deadpool's cool. Shatterstar's cool. Don't get me wrong. Shatterstar's a cool character. I'm really looking forward to this X-Men Legends that's coming out, I think next week or 2 weeks from now, where they're going to be revisiting some old storylines. Okay. So it's going to be like three or four issues doing a storyline, picking up from something in the 90s is the first one. Okay. The Summers' third brother, Cyclops's and Havoc's third brother. So they're going to tell the untold tale of that. And then the next kind of arc could be a completely different art team, completely different writing team. And they're going to touch on something maybe from the 70s. Okay. And after that arc, they might touch from something in the 80s. Like they're going to jump around and kind of tell stories within the X-Men mythos. And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But for some really great, you know, redone. Like if anybody is out there, John Byrne has already drawn and written a metric, how should we say, poop ton?
You've said shit enough already, Martin.
A metric scat ton of... pages of a continuation of his X-Men run. Like he's just decided to ignore continuity and he just is doing this as a little kind of project of his own. Definitely not going to publish it because, you know, trademark by it, but mm-hmm. They're out there. I don't know how many pages. I heard somebody say 80. I don't know if that's right. 80 pages of John Byrne untold X-Men tales already done. You just need to color them. Hello. Hello, Marvel.
Yeah. Why are they not knocking on his door?
You know, probably because he wants more than whatever fill-in artist of the week that they've got pumping out their books right now.
Yeah. But, you know, they're going to charge $5.99 for that book anyways. So, you know, even if it's only 32 pages, it's not going to be $3.99.
Dan's lagging and I'm yawning.
Oh, yeah, we're all crashing here.
Yeah. We're yagging.
So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. DC's continuing on with their weirdness and wackiness. Some new Batman villainess called Miracle Molly coming out because, you know, Punchline didn't sell enough speculator issues. Now we got to come up with another character. And somebody said, you know, maybe this is an original idea by James Tynion. No idea. I can't pronounce stuff unless it says ski at the end. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all for story. If something feeds the story, if something pushes the narrative forward, if the writer wants to put something in there to be interesting, like when they made James Gordon Batman in the bat suit,
yeah,
in the bat mech, why not for a few issues?
That was supposed to be a hot comic too, but yeah, it never was.
If you're doing it to tell a story, why not? But if you're doing it as a cheap marketing ploy to sell more variants, and then, you know, you do like they did with New Superman. Hey, this is the first appearance of New Superman. It's going to be big. It's going to be huge. And then in the last minute, yeah, it's not him. Now we pick somebody else. Or this nonsense with the new Batman. Yeah, it's going to be this Fox kid. He's going to be the new Batman. Everybody goes nuts buying his back appearances and his first appearance and whatever it was, Detective or Batman. His prices are going up like crazy. He's going to be in this issue. Everybody's buying this issue. He's not in that issue. Buy this issue instead. Oh, yeah, he's in that issue. And then it turns out it's a totally different kid anyways. His younger brother or older brother. And it's like, look what we did. Ha, ha, ha. We got to buy comics you didn't need. Ha, ha.
You'd totally do that, though, Martin. If you had...
I would torture speculators.
You would torture speculators.
I would torture them.
Yeah, I know. I know you would. So you're saying that, you know, DC did this intentionally. I don't know whether they did it intentionally, because really they don't make any money on the secondary market.
No.
It really does look good on the speculators when something goes wrong like that, though.
Maybe I'm just projecting my own evil. But,
Chris, this isn't the secondary market for DC, because if they can hype it enough, then they're selling out at comic book stores.
Yeah, the current,
instead of having these issues sitting on the shelf.
Yeah. The current issues. Yeah.
The one from the actual first appearance of this kid was like from the 80s or something. Yeah. So that wouldn't affect.
Yeah,
but if they can, you're right. If they can hype it hard enough,
talking about like punchline and stuff.
What a joke that was.
Yeah, like how many issues did they sell of how many variants and how many special covers of Punchline? And she's already been replaced by this new Miracle Molly.
Yeah.
You know, she's not the big grand new character. Now, again, it feeds the story, throw the spaghetti on the wall, see what sticks. If it doesn't, go to the next one. I get it. Punchline didn't, you know, punch above her weight class. Let's try it with this Miracle Molly. Keep doing it until something happens. Or you could just turn around and tell good stories with the cast characters you already
have. Yeah. Well, but I mean, Marvel did it in the 90s, right? Like the amount of new X characters that were pumped out between like, say, 93 and 97. They probably created more new characters in that short span than they had since the 60s. Like, it was just a mass explosion of, they were just, but again, they were just chucking spaghetti at the wall. I mean, they had like the annuals. They had new characters in every annual, and it came with a card, and, you know, everybody suckered in because they thought, oh man, you know, Annex, he's going to be the new, I don't know, Deathlok. He's going to be awesome. And aside from me, does anybody know who Annex actually is?
Nope.
DC used to do that at the end of every single big, huge crossover. You know, they do this big, huge crossover, introduce some new characters, then all of a sudden the new characters' books would come out afterwards and usually flounder, like the New Guardians.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a big thing. Never, you know, people weren't interested. Like, obviously, the only thing that sells is Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. It's all they're publishing right now.
Yeah.
Except.
It's sad.
Except Green Lantern, John Stewart, a celebration of 50 years. 368-page collection. And I've got a couple of these because they've been doing them. I'm just trying to look over there. I can't
remember. Mostly 75 years, aren't they?
Yeah. So they did a whole bunch for the 75th anniversary. And I know that they're doing some now for the 80th anniversary. And this is 50 years of John Stewart as a character, which, like, honest to goodness, why they brought Hal Jordan back, I it may be okay, whatever. I'm not going to go bed down that Wally West route and have another conniption fit where Dan's counting my shits. House John Stewart is Green Lantern to a huge, massive, massive fan base because of the Justice League cartoon. I think he's a great character. I think he's awesome. I dig the military aspect of his, backstory and stuff like this. I think he was a great Green Lantern. So I'm actually interested. Usually I only grab those celebrating books if they're on sale when I walk by in Indigo chapters. But I'm actually going to hunt down this one. I want this one.
Yeah. Well, when we saw the Green Lantern movie, my son's like, "Who's that, Dad?" Yeah. I'm like,
and you said Deadpool.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't Deadpool yet, but
I know.
I had to explain who he was because, you know, my son was like, "That's not the Green Lantern that I know."
Like, mistakes were made with that movie. And obviously, Ryan Reynolds, incredibly talented, funny guy, charismatic as all the heck. You can't blame him, really. That should have been a John Stewart movie.
Yes.
100%.
I agree.
You know, at a time when people are trying to push diversity and stuff like this and be a little bit more representative, that movie should have been all about John Stewart. Mm-hmm. How many Justice League fans... You know, I bet you there's more people who watched that Justice League cartoon than read the Green Lantern comic the whole time that cartoon was on.
Oh, probably. But then you would have had your kids saying, "Dad, take me to the movie." Like, because then they know who it is.
Yep.
You know, so that would have made more sense than to have, you know, and you're right. Ryan Reynolds. I like Ryan Reynolds. I got nothing against Ryan. But again, he's not the... The Green Lantern that the kids would have known.
Yeah.
Like he's not anybody who should have been Green Lantern though. Like, I was a huge Green Lantern fan and I watched that movie and I was like, this movie sucks. Hal Jordan isn't a humorous character.
No.
You know, Ryan Reynolds should never have played Hal Jordan.
No, I agree. And I think that was one of the reasons that it didn't go over well. Is because people kind of watched it, and if they'd any of them had ever read a comic book, they'd have been like, "Well, who's that guy?"
Yeah, to me, anyways, from a design point of view, too much reliance on the CG special effects, trying to make it look fancy and out of this world.
Yeah,
a little bit too much glistening and glitter and everything all over the uniform. A little bit too much of that. Like I said, Ryan Reynolds, charming as heck, great actor. Love him to bits and a whole bunch of things. Like Dan said, shouldn't have been the Green Lantern. Not Hal Jordan anyways. Maybe a Kyle Rayner, but not Hal Jordan. And I still think this should have been played straight, and it should have been John Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been a mistake to have somebody you know what? I think Denzel Washington would have been amazing. John Stewart.
I agree.
I'm not a Denzel Washington fan.
From an age point of view, it would have worked in that movie. A younger Denzel Washington.
Maybe like an Idris Elba. Like, I like him. I think he'd have been all right. Like, he'd have been... Yeah, because he can pull off the military. Like, he's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, second you said that, I was like, yes! Yes!
See, I'm just not a Denzel fan. But,
Idris Elba. I mean, that guy.
Yeah.
Palau.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for him because he got a bad rap for doing the Dark Tower. Like, you know, that movie just didn't. And as a huge Stephen King fan, and a Dark Tower, like, super fan, I just, the movie fell really flat for me, and I was just not like, he played the part well. The kid who played Jake played the part well, but it just had nothing to do with any of the mythos really that was written. And so when they do that, it really just makes me sad.
I watched half of that movie way back in the early stages of first lockdown.
Yeah.
And I watched 45 minutes of it and I was like, man, this is terrible. I shut it off. Somebody asked me, like, what happened in the first 45 minutes? And I looked at them and went, I don't even remember. Like, it was just such a weird, boring movie. Like, there was nothing happening.
Oh, they left out all kinds of the interesting storyline of, like, basically the entire book.
You're going to have to help me out. All out. I read Dark Tower when it first came out.
Yeah.
And after about three quarters of the book, him being on the beach being eaten by crabs.
The lobstrosities.
I was like, what is going on here? And I put it down, and I never picked up a Dark Tower property, book, movie, TV show since.
Yeah, that was the drawing of the three, that one.
Did I read the wrong one first?
Probably. The Gunslinger is the first one.
Yeah, like, and it was bad. And it's
the Gunslinger is basically a Western. You know, like, it's like old school towns. He's got, like,
well, it doesn't sound like a mafia movie. It doesn't sound like a rom-com, Gunslinger.
No. Yeah. But it's good. I really, like, I read that one, and then I was, like, hungry for the next one, because it was like, okay, when's the next one? And so he originally wrote that book in, like, 1977 or something, and I didn't read it until I was in high school, so, like, in the 90s. And I was like, when's the next one? So then I found the second book, and then I found the third book, and then I was like, okay, where's more? And it was like, oh, he hasn't written them yet. And so then it wasn't until, like, I don't know what, 2010 or something, he pumped out four books between 2010 and 2012 or something crazy like that. He pumped out four novels, and it was like, so it ended kind of strange because he just really was like trying to get it over with, I think. But yeah, it was.
Well, I mean, he didn't have to write four whole novels then. He wanted to just get it over with.
But he had so much to
Roland
try and
gets
wrap
shot
up
in the back and dies.
The end. Yeah.
The end.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, I got comic books that I got excited about.
Oh, cool. What'd you get?
After Lift trade paperback finally showed up.
Oh, nice.
Our man Jason Liu on art duty, and Chip Zdarsky was writing, and Allison O'Toole was involved, and somebody else that I'm going to be in trouble for not mentioning. But it was originally a Comixology series, and I read them digitally, but I'm really looking to diving into the trade paperback for sure. That's on top of the reading pile.
Oh, nice.
Second from the top of the reading pile, Flash.
Oh, nice.
Savage Velocity. This is the first, I don't want to lie here, first, I know it's pretty thick. I'm going to say the first 12 issues of my Flash series.
The Wally West.
This is Wally West and all his hot dog eating goodness, written by Mike Barron and drawn by William Messner Loebs and Jackson Geese. He used to be called Butch. Why'd he change the name from Butch? He did that really amazing Iron Man cover that got me into purple background tone hanging from.
I don't think I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. But I got all excited about it, except Amazon. Somebody shipped it in a big, huge, massive box, and it's all dinged up, and the corners are all messed up, and the OCD's flaring. And so just before the radio show.
And pre-show, we had to listen to Marty Rita write an email.
But
he did the TV thing where he's telling us the words he's typing as he's typing it.
Yeah, as I'm typing it.
Dear Amazon, I hate you. Yeah. You suck. Package better.
Now, my only other problem with this is that this is kind of like, if you guys have ever picked up a bunch of comic books that have been bound into a volume, I don't know if you've ever seen one of that. It used to be a trendy thing, is you take like 12 issues of a comic, you took it to a book place, and they bound it into a hardcover. The problem is there's not enough pages, paper, to be used to do the binding. So you end up getting, like, the middle of the book is a little cut short. So on the side of the book, you got a nice centimeter weight border. At the top, you got a centimeter. At the bottom, you got a centimeter. In the middle, the panels are almost touching. This is what this paperback's like. It's like, you guys couldn't have like figured that out and trimmed it a little bit nicer. And they got the covers reprinted in here almost verbatim. So it really feels like somebody just took, not that I'm complaining, because I really want to dive into this, because my originals are buried deep in my storage locker. But it just feels like it was kind of haberdashery slapped together. Here you go. Here it is.
Yeah.
Not a lot of thought process going into the OCD necessary to print a comic book up to Martin Bruta standards.
Did you buy
Lyft? Speaking of the OCD, I'm going to just... I just want to interrupt and say Paris Alain is probably who you were thinking about.
Yes, colorist. Paris is awesome. He did that Haven comic for Chapter House. Well, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He did that Haven comic book for himself. Issue number one. And issue number one was printed by Chapter House. It wasn't it's his property, not Chapter House's. He's got some freaking wicked art. If you like follow him on the book face, and like I said, I'm not on Twitter anymore and all that sort of stuff, but he's fantastic. He's a great artist in his own right. Good colorist. Yeah, it was a good book. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So, other than that, I got my regular slog of books that I'm getting just out of habit. American Ronin. Not really even reading that. Strange American Adventures. Red Atlantis from Aftershock. Strange Adventures from DC, Far Sector from DC. I got Walking Dead Deluxe. I read that. Rorschach, I'm going to read that. Star Wars, I flip through. Firepower, Robert Kirkman Firepower. That's a great series still. But realistically, I'm looking at the books I picked up from the local comic shop. Safe to pick up. Not going into stores. Don't want to get anybody in trouble. It was all up and up. Half of it doesn't excite me at all. I don't know. We need to do something. Maybe I should pick up Alex Kingston's new book. Dan?
Yeah, maybe you should.
The Ruby's Curse. River Song writes a book about River Song. I'm trying to get back on Doctor
Who. Yeah. Get back on Doctor Who a day. I'm not lagging.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Well, we got about a minute and a half anyway, so... I don't know if people are sick and tired of hearing us
ramble. If I start talking now, you'll hear me by the end of it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, is there anything good coming out next week? Is there anything that I should care about?
Honestly, there's not much that I'm like super stoked about getting my hands on. Yeah. It's just kind of same old, same old. A lot of it just ends up in the read pile. Like there's nothing that I'm like, oh man, the only book that, to be honest, that I actually like wait for is Darth Vader.
Yeah, you're digging Darth Vader?
I'm digging the Darth Vader. I like that. So it's usually as soon as I get it, I pick it up and read it. Whereas a lot of the other books, like, you know what? I still like the G.I. Joe stuff, but it and Spawn, but I'm like really far behind in them. So they usually just hit the read pile and then I get to them when I get to them.
Yeah. That's Walking Dead for me. Walking Dead and Firepower. I pick them up, read them right away as soon as they come in. I'm reading Batman. I dropped Superman for a little while there because of Brian Michael Bendis. Now that he's gone, I went back and picked up all the back issues that I dropped, and now I'm back into Superman, but I haven't read any of it. I got like 7 issues of Batman, Superman just sitting there. So I haven't read that. But yeah, next week, X-Men Legends number 1 is coming out. Classic tale. Fabian Nissan. Why do I even try?
Just say Fabian and go with it. We know who you're talking about. The Deadpool guy.
I'm not going to try. The Deadpool guy. The other guy involved in Deadpool.
Yeah.
I actually have a comic of his, New Warriors, signed by him.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. It's Brent Booth is doing the cover art. I'm not sure who's doing the interior art. Oh, no, Brent is doing the cover and interior, or at least one of the covers, because there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 cover artists listed so far. But 36 pages, $4.99. We dive deeper to expand the X-Men mythos. So I'm kind of excited.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that's about all the time we have left. We managed to drag our bums into an entire hour of not really talking about anything and offending as many people as possible and doing, you know, our typical thing. If you want to catch more of this nonsense, you can go to heykidscomics.ca. Soon it might be changed to heywedontreadcomics.ca, but for now it's still heykidscomics.ca. And pick up back issues or hit us up on your favorite podcast delivery system, because we're there. We just signed up for TuneIn. If you're on TuneIn, you can listen to us on TuneIn. I'm telling you, SiriusXM is next. We're going to get our bums on SiriusXM as a TV channel. Yeah.
You don't have to say bums.
Yeah. It won't happen. It won't happen. Anyways, everybody, have a great week. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
Can you do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.